Lessons from the Sanctuary. The Lord told Moses, "Build a sanctuary, that I may dwell among them." The sanctuary was thus a place in which God could come close to Israel. The word dwell in Hebrew is the root from which Shekinah comes, Shekan. It means the visible presence of deity. It appeared in many forms. In the Garden of Eden, it was a sword of light that illuminated the pathway and kept aside the enemies and preserved the way to the tree of life, along which all worshippers could walk by faith. In the wilderness, it was the pillar of fire by night, which gave the Israelis warmth. It was the pillar of cloud by day, which provided them a shelter from the burning heat. And it was also the guide that led them, when God thought that they were rested enough, on their way to the promised land. In the sanctuary, the Shekinah was to be observed in many interesting symbolic forms. Part number one. The earthly sanctuary, or the temple that was later built on a permanent plan, were models, symbols, parables of the heavenly sanctuary. They were vehicles through which the pious worshipper might look beyond the temporal to the eternal, beyond the earthly to the heavenly. You will remember in Samuel's dedicatory prayer that he made allusion to the needs of God's people. Whenever they were in war and in their troubles looked to the temple, God was to hear in heaven. See, the temple was the vehicle to flick their minds up to the heavenly places. When they sinned and wanted pardon and came to the temple, God was in the heavenly places. The psalmist repeats over and over again that in heaven was the mountain sanctuary, the heavenly sanctuary, the temple in heaven, where God's glory dwelt. In the sanctuary, God spoke to Israel. We must listen to the silent, eloquent of the sanctuary symbolism today, if we will catch God's voice speaking to us. The Lord wants to dwell with us. He wants to speak with us. He wants to reveal himself in many ways to him. Part number two, God's holiness is shown. The sanctuary was surrounded by a curtain, fine linen, clean and white, symbolical of righteousness, typical of his unapproachable holiness. But there was only one entrance at the east, and there was a veil, multicolored, blue, purple, scarlet, fine linen, gold. Blue of the law, the scarlet of his sacrifice, the purple of the blending of his divinity, his perfect righteousness with his humanity, his crimson blood, making the purple of his intercessory priesthood. Fine linen, his righteousness. Gold, faith that works by love and purifies the soul. All combining as a symbol of his flesh. His veil, that is to say, his flesh. The white veils his holiness, the purple, blue, scarlet, gold, fine linen his humanity in a special sense. Only through the veil could they enter. Within the veil was separation, segregation, holiness. Outside, exclusion. So the veil said, "Keep out, stay in." The unrighteous outside, the holy inside. And the way of entry in the humanity of Christ. No defilement within. The invitation, "Come in and be holy even as I am holy." There he appeared in the cloud and in the fire above the mercy seat. Part number 3. Sin paid for by the sacrifice. Guilt cleansed by another sacrifice. If we confess, he is faithful to forgive and to cleanse. In the sanctuary, we shall see that there were 2 stages that God had for dealing with sin. 1, the removal of the sin to the sanctuary or the priest, and the other, the cleansing of the records of sin by the work of the high priest. The blood of Christ cleansed from all sin. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. The purpose of these sacrifices was to point to the coming of Jesus, how through him all things could be accomplished. The whole sanctuary service was a promise, a figure, a symbol of Jesus. And those who accepted it by faith found in it an actual provision by which their sins could be forgiven and on the Day of Atonement the records of their guilt removed. Part number 4. As the penitent came to the sanctuary, his sin could be removed. 2 ways. In one, the blood of the sacrifice, over which he had confessed his sins, and which he had slain by his own hand, was taken by the priest and sprinkled in the holy place, before the veil, on the veil, on the golden altar, and then poured out at the foot of the copper altar. Read carefully the first 6 verses of Leviticus 4. This is what was done for any soul, including the priest, because God wished his people to be kings and priests. Another ceremony might require the priest to eat a portion of the sacrifice. The Jewish Mishnah says that portion should be as big as an olive pit. A sacramental identification, so that the priest could be himself the priest, himself the sacrifice. Both figures alike teaching that the sinner was no longer burdened with his sin and guilt. They were recorded in the sanctuary. They were identified with the priest. So we notice that this blood and the eating of the sacrifice removed the sin from the sinner to the sanctuary. Part number 5. Every morning and every evening, several ceremonies were carried through. The daily sacrifice was offered, morning and evening. The bread was provided on the table. The lamps were lighted, morning and evening. There was no window. The only light was from the 7-branch candlestick. The incense was offered anew, morning and evening. The priest ministered at the laver and in the court and in the holy place, morning and evening. All this pointed to the daily ministry of Jesus Christ. And if you happen to live far away in Tarsus or in Babylon, you could look in imagination and faith to the temple. Daniel must have done that from 606 to 586, 20 years before the temple was destroyed. He must have looked 3 times a day and seen what was going on in his mind's eye, and by faith accept what Jesus had done for him. So morning and evening, we too today should review what our high priest and our sacrifice is doing in the heavenly sanctuary. Part number 6, focus and application. This sanctuary ceremonial must be applied to ourselves. Paul appeals in Romans 12:1-2 for us to bring our own bodies as living sacrifices, totally dedicated to God, in Christ dying daily, morning and evening, to our sins and our programs. We are not our own. We are bought with a price, the blood of Jesus Christ. So in our bodies, we too must be little lambs of God. No lamb that was blemished could be accepted. So we must pray the Lord Jesus Christ by his grace, by his power, not only to forgive us for our sins, but to make us holy, to impute his holiness to us, his righteousness to us, and in our activities, in our willing obedience, to impart his righteousness in sanctification to us. That what we do, what we say, what we think, what we act, what we feel, must be as Christ's in the world today. So just as Jesus came to dwell in the sanctuary, to show forth his glory, so he wants to become flesh in us. We are to be the temples of the Holy Ghost. The light of his truth must shine in us. The intercession that he lifts to the throne on behalf of others, we should do. The bread of life that he provided, we should eat. The laver should cleanse us, and we should be one with him as a priest, loving, mediating, working for others.